Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. And Shogger, we have two game sevens coming up. But first, let's get into the Edmonton Oilers. And I mentioned it last week. They were getting down. They're going to have a second round of interviews. Do you think they wait until Vegas is out, or do they just do what they have to do? And if they don't talk to Kelly McCrimmon, they don't talk to Kelly McCrimmon.
Well, I think they have to seriously consider waiting. I think Kelly McCrimmon is as good a candidate as there is for this job. And so I think just not having the opportunity to interview him at all, I think hurts the process. But I think there is a breaking point where if you wait too long, now you're starting to really dig into some of the important decisions that need to be made for the upcoming season and your efficiency to be able to hit the ground running properly for next year. So Bob Nicholson's in a really tricky situation timing-wise. I think, San Jose can do the Oilers organization a massive favor by taking Vegas out and potentially opening that door. But I do think that McCrimmon is, if not the top candidate, certainly, right up there. I would say that there even potentially is some separation there.
Do you have a drop that date in mind? When this
No, I mean, yeah, like I think waiting till the end of the second round, let's say Vegas wins, yeah, and now you got to wait till the end of the second round. Now you're middle of May. Well, you can probably still make that work. But if you sit around and wait, you're pushing closer and closer to the draft. And so it definitely becomes difficult. But, that's the difficult thing that's happening here is one of the best candidates you can't necessarily get your claws into in this moment. And so it becomes really tricky. The problem is, I really do believe that he may be the best candidate for this job. And I don't know if Bob Nicholson agrees. I don't know the way they feel about it. But in all of the research that I've done and the digging in on it, I don't know there's a better candidate out there, you guys.
What do you base that on?
Well, I base it on his track record. He played a huge role in helping George McPhee navigate the waters around the NHL, searching out deals. He played a huge role in talking to general managers, figuring out what the expansion draft was going to look like, working out some of those trades. He's got lots of experience being on the phone with other general managers, evaluating organizations, looking for sweet spots and weak spots, and how to manipulate and figure out how to work a deal that makes sense. So he's got experience on the pro side as far as working trades and player personnel type decisions. He's got a huge pedigree when it comes to junior hockey and being able to evaluate talent. By all accounts, he's an excellent communicator. He's a collaborator and somebody who is sought after. And that's where there's separation with him, guys. I think that you want to hire people who are the best and the brightest, but those people are going to be sought after. And I think Kelly McCrimmon is as sought after a candidate as there is. And I just don't know that you can walk away from the process without having given a good, solid look at him.
Now, Shogger, we all know how it works in the hockey industry. Well, Vegas, let's say, hasn't given clear permission to have a full-on lengthy interview process. Don't you think there's a way to have a communication between him to Bob Nicholson to say, yeah, I'm interested in the job. Do you guys want to wait? Like, I don't buy that there's no way that you could have a line of communication to at least get a sense of where he's at, right?
Well, there's a couple of things to consider here. I mean, everybody just assumes that it's George McPhee getting in the way of this process, right? But, well, I don't know that George McPhee would necessarily do that. I mean, Kelly McCrimmon, my sense is that he's not desperate to get out of Vegas and that it's a good situation there. And, let's say your goal in life is to win a Stanley Cup. Well, he's in a really good position there. And he's not just like any other assistant general manager around the league. He's heavily involved. He's very involved. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he was right on the forefront at trade deadline time of getting the Mark Stone deal done in the contract and stuff like that. I mean, he's not a distant right-hand man. He's right there. So I think the situation that he's in is probably a pretty good one. And maybe it's as much Kelly McCrimmon feeling like this is an important time of year for the Vegas Golden Knights. And that, who's to say he's willing to just start having conversations about crossing the street, in particular within the division. So, whether it's entirely George McPhee blocking this process or if Kelly McCrimmon is trying to be respectful to his current organization, there's probably more to the story than just George McPhee getting in the way here.
So you're saying maybe he doesn't want the job?
Not saying he doesn't want the job. I'm saying maybe it's not just as simple as Bob Nicholson saying, hey, George, I'd like to talk to the guy. And George saying, well, tough, you got to wait. Maybe Kelly McCrimmon isn't in a position to have these conversations himself. Maybe he wants to wait until the season's over as well. I'm just saying, I don't know any of this to be true, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense that, you know, that George McPhee would be blocking this entire process from happening. And so if you know, the obvious doesn't make sense, then what are some other options here? And maybe it's not just as simple as that. So, no, I think he's an extremely high-end candidate for this job. I think he's sought after. The Toronto Maple Leafs wanted him back when they had a Hunter-Dubas tandem. They wanted him then. They tried to get him then, and he ended up taking the job with Vegas instead. This guy is sought after. And I think there's a reason for that. And it sounds like when you get him, George McPhee didn't know this guy very well, got in a room with him, interviewed him, and hired him because he was just that impressive. So I don't think we can understate how high-end a candidate he is for this job. And that makes Bob Nicholson's life good, but it makes it difficult.
We got Ryan Michaud on the line from TSN talking all things Oilers and NHL related. Shifting over to our the team just south, the Calgary Flames, a terrific regular season. Getting to the playoffs, to my eye, it seemed like there wasn't a lot of pushback from their top players, and maybe the compete wasn't there. Now there was some injuries, issues, and things. But how does the best way for Brad Treliving to kind of manage this off season and try to make maybe adjustments or no adjustments, depending on, I guess, how you feel this group can look next year?
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing because if I would have told you before the playoffs, hey, Struds, Mike Smith's going to be one of the best players in the first round in their series,
right,
you'd have gone, well, I mean, book the Flames through to the second round, right? That was the one question. We know their blue line is their blue line. They've got lots of good players and puck movers and guys that can skate really well and an unbelievable performer in Mark Giordano back there. They've got a forward unit that had lots of different contributors and players that can play the game different ways, high-end skill. And it was their goaltending that was the question mark. And in the end, their goaltending was the most reliable part of their game. So it's confusing and it's perplexing. And it's not like the Tampa Bay Lightning because they're a more complete team and they're higher end. But if you're the Calgary Flames, you look at your roster and you go, I mean, it's pretty tight. You don't look at that roster and say, man, they need to make a ton of changes. Now, Johnny Gaudreau and his performance, is he built for playoff hockey? Can a smaller guy with not great feet but incredible skill and vision, can he succeed in the postseason? And will he learn from this? And will he be better next time around? Fair questions. And so I would be very confused about what to do if I were Brad Treliving because he put a good team on the ice and his goaltending held and they still weren't there.
Well, you can look at like the Washington Capitals for years didn't make major changes. You try tweaks and different things. I think it's easy for people. Oh, like Tampa Bay's got to make massive changes. Well, first of all, it's really difficult to make massive changes. And say, I can't think of a team that made.
But who's saying they need to make massive changes? I don't think anybody. I'm certainly not saying that. I don't think anybody's suggesting they need to make massive changes. But I think, Greg, it's confusing because their roster is so good. So you're looking at it going, what do you do? I mean, if you're Tampa Bay, I would say getting somebody who's won a Stanley Cup on that roster, putting a veteran player who's been to the dance before and won it, because I don't believe they had a single player in their lineup. So there is a tangible change that you could make. But if you look at the Calgary Flames, I don't think you need to make massive changes, but what were they lacking? Who do you need? Do you need a player who plays higher up in your lineup that has some snarl and some toughness and some grit and a little bit more? Do you need Michael Ferland back in that lineup for them to, would that have given them something that they were lacking? But the point is massive changes aren't needed, but what are the tweaks? And it's a little bit perplexing because they were such good teams through the season.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I look at Calgary, and they just seemed overwhelmed with the speed of Colorado at the end of it. And so, you know, and Mark Giordano, I liked his honesty. He goes, man, Nathan MacKinnon just dominated, right? Like, MacKinnon's,
he did.
His speed and his ability to shoot in flight is really what separates him. Like, that's the one thing, you know, when we look at all the great players in the game, all the other fast guys, that's the one thing I find that separates him in one element from the other fast guys. Like, we don't see, and every best player is going to attack different ways. He attacks like that, McDavid doesn't. And that doesn't make him better than McDavid, it just makes it different. And I think it's really tough for a lot of guys to defend that, his ability to shoot that hard, that accurate in flight.
Yeah, and he's a little bit different. Like, I find McDavid will use his skill to get himself in great position where he can either pass it or he can shoot it, whereas MacKinnon tends to be really aggressive, using his speed, putting himself in spots to shoot. And you can tell that's his goal. That's what he's looking to get to. He's looking for that little bit of open ice to let it rip. He's not a real crafty shooter. Like, he's not like an Austin Matthews where he changes the angle all over the place and drags it in and snipes from all angles. But he's fast enough and skilled enough to break to spots that are open and that allow him to get his shot away. And he looks to shoot all the time. And it's a little bit of a different tact than McDavid takes. But no, MacKinnon was brilliant in that series, and they did not have an answer for him. And, you know, one of Calgary's best defensemen, minute-munching defensemen, and Mark Giordano, is not the fastest skater. You need mobile defensemen that can defend to be able to play against a guy like that. You know, I think about a guy like Brandon Carlo, how he would match up against somebody like Nate MacKinnon over a 7-game series. Big, really mobile, really nice skater and skilled. That, to me, is the kind of guy. You can't have somebody who isn't the fleetest of foot trying to mark MacKinnon. It just won't work.
Schauger, do your Game 7 research, because we'll be talking about it and your illustrious predictions tomorrow on the show.
All right, sounds good. It'll be a fun one. Talk to you guys.